Auburn takes down Kentucky in dominating fashion. Boy, we needed that one.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Finally, we get to talk about one of these things, and it's a win. It's been a long time coming, and it feels good. It feels good. It's not. I'm not going to downplay the opponent. I'm not going to downplay anything about it. This is a big point for this team, especially for these young guys, to finally punch one over the line, have a lead, be able to hold it, and just dominate, honestly, on both sides of the ball. Even when you start out rough, even when things kind of get shaky, we're going to dive into that a little bit as well. But before we get started, let's give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Give them 100 bucks. You're going to give you another 100 back to play with. Hopefully you took Auburn on the money line. Hopefully you pounded that money line this weekend and won big. And you could have used your risk-free deposit bonus. And it had been, again, risk-free. You'd have just won basically free given free money and doubled that free money up. So just a ton of doubling up going on. So check them out. Lines for everything, huge sports book, a lot of stuff that you can you know, bet on, parlays, teasers, all that good stuff. So check them out, mybookie.ag. Auburn goes into Lexington, takes down Kentucky 24-10. Start out with a 10-point deficit, which is something that's been sort of unique the last couple of weeks. Not unique the last couple of weeks. That first play script, I don't know if it's necessarily the first play script, but that first play, that first drive of the game, offensive drive of the game for the past several weeks has been pretty bad. If we've gained a yard, I would be surprised, but it seems like it's three and out quick and you're just trying to avoid disaster. And I feel like a lot of that's just because I don't know why. I don't understand it, but we get a penalty on kickoff returns, especially the opening kickoff return, it seems like every single week. I think I said to myself, dadgum, just start calling fair catches. Just don't even bring them out. Just I know we have some dynamic guys back there that could maybe make a play, but geez, man, you put yourself in a hole. I don't know if that changes your play calling mindset or whatever, but just start taking fair catches or just start letting. I mean, you can take a fair catch and you still get it at the 25, even if it doesn't go in the end zone. So, yeah. You start off 10 down 10-0. And I think a lot of people that are, you know, used to it, you know, you're kind of used to it by now. Well, that's it. There's adversity. There's no chance that Auburn comes back. And the negativity and the feelings and everything start boiling over. And it's just, I mean, I get it. I totally get it. But I did something different this week. Myself, I did something different this week. I tried to stay as much out of group chats as I could, group texts and things like that. I'm not going to say I completely avoided them, but as far as living and dying on every single play, every single drive, overanalyzing everything throughout the whole game, I just said, I'm not doing that. I was on the barn, auburn.com. I was in the game thread, and I was watching the game as a fan, like legitimately as a fan that I guess I want to say I didn't have a narrative. I didn't have anything other than I just wanted Auburn to win the game. So when Auburn did good, no matter how they did good, even if it was something dumb or whatever, I was, you know, I just watched the game that way. I watched the game in a way that I was just, hey, we got a first down. That's awesome. We go into half tied on the road. That's fine. Didn't try to dwell on what happened at the end of the half. Didn't really want to talk about it. It just kind of was what it was. And then enjoyed the second half where Auburn kind of put their foot on the gas and basically took the game over and shut it down. And it was refreshing because, as you can imagine, covering Auburn this season, and I would say this is my first big year doing it, it's been exhausting. It really has. It's been tough to try to have any type of positivity, any type of anything. It's been a grind. So I just wanted to honestly, I sat, watched the game by myself, sat on my back patio, watched the game by myself, didn't have a ton of interaction and just cheered for Auburn. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And we needed that game, not only as a fan base, the fan base needed that game bad. We needed that game bad. You're coming back home. We'll talk about momentum and stuff like that you could possibly build, but this team needed this game bad. It's hard to keep going out and fighting and feel like you're not far off or feel like you got a game in hand and then you blow it. And it's like, man, what can we win? I don't know that we can. I mean, we continue to be in it, have big leads late in games, and somehow we figure out ways to lose. Can we do it? Can we actually win a game? Like, this was so massive. On so many levels. I will not downplay because of the opponent. I will not downplay because of the opponent's record or anything like that. This was a massive, massive win, especially for those young guys, a massive win for the seniors. You know, they've not, this is their last, a lot of their last rides, and it's not gone the way they'd hoped. So this was just a big win all around. And I'd probably needed this win more than anybody because I don't know if you guys remember at the beginning of the year, I kind of got in a little dust up with Matt Jones from the, you know, who covers Kentucky. I don't exactly know what he does for Kentucky, but he's like me, but times a million for Kentucky. he's got way more followers, way more people watching, way more people respect him. He's a big time personality for Kentucky. But I don't know if you remember what he said that kind of kicked all this off. This was before the season. Okay. I want to play this and then we're going to talk about it. But because again, honestly, after this, I was like, man, the only game I hope we got to win is Kentucky. So here we go.
So how do you win nine? All right. Beat South Carolina at home.
Yep.
Now we're at five. Beat Auburn at home.
Yep.
Now we're at six. I don't even think we have to be that good to do those things.
There you go. I don't even think we have to be that good to beat Auburn and South Carolina at home. And oddly enough, you lose those games. You give up 55 points to, I think, 16. 50. You lost those game. You lost that game combined 55 to 16. I don't even think you have to be that good to beat South Carolina at home. I don't even think you have to be that good to beat Auburn at home. Well, they're not that good. If you're not good enough, if you don't have to be that good to beat those teams at home, what are you when you get throttled by both of those teams at home? It's tough. But yeah, he made fun of my top button after that. After my reaction to that, he made fun of a lot of things, and we needed that one. We needed that one to shove back right back in his face. So all around, man, just what a fun game. What a fun game. I encourage everybody to do that every now and then. Watch a game, unplug a little bit. Take your feelings out of it. Take your feelings out of it. Take your narrative out of it. And just watch the game. Just watch the game and hope we win and cheer for the win. It's kind of fun. I'm not gonna lie. It's refreshing and it's fun. So, all in all, again, big game, big win, and hopefully it's something you can build on. And again, we're going to talk about momentum in just a second. But let's switch gears because this game was this is the Jarquez game. This is one we'll remember maybe. This is one you'll tell your kids about. This is one you'll remember for a very, very long time. And there's nobody on the planet. There's no football player alive that deserves it more than Jarquez Hunter. I mean, think about this guy. Think about what he's been through. You come in as a freshman under Brian Harsin, And you start off hot. You get a lot of playing time as a freshman. You're playing behind Tank Bigsby. And then you kind of take over, and it's a disaster season. It's where your coach is sort of on the outs. You take that over. You take over a starter that year, and you're pretty much the only bright spot of the team of the season that year. There's a coaching change. You come in. You got Hugh Freeze, who's tasked with a humongous rebuild, and you have a losing season. Your junior year, you go 6-7. You get just shy of 1,000 yards. You come into your senior year. You could have gone pretty much anywhere you wanted to in the offseason. I think Ole Miss really, really wanted him to transfer this past offseason to be a part of their explosive offense. He could have done that. He could have done that and probably made more money. He could have done so many things throughout this tumultuous 4 years, but he just stuck by Auburn. He stuck by Auburn the whole time, and it's been where you get glimpses of what he can be as a feature back. For whatever reason, there have been times this year where he maybe hasn't been able to get the ball quite as much, whether it be limited possessions, turnovers, things like that. But finally, you get a chance. You start getting some momentum in the running game, and you're just able to feed him and pound and pound and pound. And it's not like it was just 4 yards, here, 5 yards here. I mean, he was absolutely gashing Kentucky over and over again. He wouldn't let up, and it was something really, really fun. Really, really fun to watch. Finished with 23 carries for 278 yards, over 12 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns, had the long 50-yard touchdown right there at the end to kind of seal it. And then underrated, people will forget about this, he had 4 catches for 19 yards, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but 2 of those were on third down. 2 of those were third down conversions. One was like a check down where he ran through a child's face. And then the other one was a really cool play where we like brought him in motion and then ran. We brought him from like the he was lined up in the slot. We motioned him into the backfield, and then he kind of jetted back out to the flat, sort of had a running start to pick up, 2 or 3 yards. I think that was a really cool, really cool design. And one of those areas where I said, situationally, we need to see more Jarquez. That's a situation. Those are things where we need to see more Jarquez, not just simply turning around and handing it off to him and letting him, run wild. Get him more involved in the pass game. I mean, 4 receptions, that's big. Even if it's not a ton of yardage, 2 of them kept drives alive. 2 of them kept drives moving, and he can do that. He's really become a good, receiving threat out of the backfield. Last year he was terrible, but this year he's definitely made that part of his game, and it's really helped. I mean, this is when I say historic, I mean, you're talking, there's only been 3 more games where running backs have had more rushing yards in a single game throughout all of the history of Auburn's, great running backs. He's 4th all time as far as single game rushing. I think that's incredible, and he deserves it after taking all this just loss after loss after loss over 4 years. Nobody deserves it more. I think the most recent game that you can go back to where a running back had more yards than him, you got to go all the way back to 2013. I think the SEC championship game against Missouri. I think Trey Mason went over 300 in that game. Over 3,000 yards rushing for his career. That's big. That puts him up pretty high. I think he passed Brent Fullwood and another, maybe Trey Mason, maybe both of them. I think he actually passed both of them as far as career rushing yards. We'll have to check me on that. But still got some time left, too. I think he's the SEC leading rusher now. He's got about 150 yards to bust 1,000. So he's got 4 games left. to do that, which should be done. Just all in all, man, what a big game. What a big game for him. What a big game for Auburn, but what a big game for Jarquez. Nobody, I mean, again, nobody deserves it more than him. Just time after time, just continuing to pound. We didn't do anything really a whole lot different than we did against Missouri. Missouri just kind of whipped us up front, and we I don't know if it was an attitude thing. They did change up the lineup, but that lineup was essentially in the whole game against Missouri. So maybe it was a whole week of practice in that lineup. Maybe that's what kind of sparked it. But a lot of the plays were very, very, very similar. You just kind of turn around and handing it off to him. You're just mauling people. That interior line, left guard Braden Joyner, Connor Liu, and right guard Jeremiah Wright, who's battling shoulder stuff. Like I think he had his shoulder probably pop out and back in early in the game, and you're like, oh no, here we go. This is right around the time you're having the adversity. Now Jeremiah Wright's dinged up, but he came back in and they just started mauling people. They had a highlight film. Like if we go back and watch the film, Braden Joyner, Connor Liu, and Jeremiah Wright have a pretty solid highlight film that you could put together just based off of this game. And hopefully, you know, what a story Braden Joyner's been. What a story that is. You know, Auburn High kid. I'm going to be honest, not a lot of people probably ever even expected him to play at all. And he sort of pushed and fought his way into the starting lineup now at left guard. And hopefully that's something he can, you know, continue to develop. And he's still got a couple years left to play. So that's obviously really big. Don't downplay this game either, as far as you know, Kentucky's defense. They're solid. They're incredible against the run. I mean, they held Georgia to 102 yards rushing. They held Southern Miss to 5 yards rushing, or it was under 10. It was single digits. It was either 5 or 9. Like that, they are a very good rushing defense. I understand that once you kind of get to where the season seems sort of out of your hands, like you can't really do anything about it. Like it's sort of you get to the point where Auburn is, where there's nothing to play for. I can see why. I can see how teams can sort of let up and they don't really lock in and focus quite as hard, especially on the defensive side of the ball. When your offense is no good whatsoever, it makes you so like ask yourself, what am I doing this for? Why am I continuing to throw my body on the line? I understand that there could be some of that aspect playing into it, but the most rushing yards they gave up this whole year was against Florida, and it was 197. And then Auburn rushed for 326. So their rushing defense took a hit. They were towards the top of the conference, and now they're going to be drop significantly, because that's a very big rushing total. Damari rushed really well too. You saw him at the end. He was trying to score. I was like, you know what? Let's just start taking knees. We ran the Wildcat play, and he had just an unbelievable run. I jumped over a human being, and then they started taking knees after that. And I was like, okay, let's just get out of this thing. And I know if you're like me, a lot of people, you're probably thinking there's at some point in time, Auburn's going to do something to let this team get back in the game. And I was just like, just kneel it and let's just get out of here and take the win. But overall, great game from Jarquez. Great game from the offensive line. It's something hopefully he'll remember forever, because he's been a warrior. He's been a warrior, and I'm never going to forget him. He's been unreal for Auburn, big for Auburn, and he could have gone a lot of different places. He could have gone a lot of different places a lot of different times, and he didn't. He stuck with us. So definitely show him some love over that big time. So create some momentum. Look, there's not a lot of positives you can take away from this season so far. There's nothing you can play for. You're not playing for an SEC championship. You're not playing for a playoff spot, but you're playing for the future right now. and you needed momentum. You need some momentum so incredibly bad. You have a pretty big recruiting weekend lined up for the Vandy game next week. And you just put on a dominating performance, playing with still a ton of young guys. You had a young guy interception, true freshman interception, Jay Crawford, unreal. Kayan Lee is only a sophomore, and he had a big interception to seal the game. And I want to talk about that play in depth a little bit later, what a freaking play that was to seal that game. You had Caleb Harris making open field tackles like, you're not getting past me. And it's not one of those open field tackles where I drop you by the ankles and you still fall for 5 yards. This was we're going head up and you're going backwards. That kid is unreal. He's unbelievable. Sylvester Smith almost made an unbelievable play. If he was 2 inches, if he was 1 inch taller, I think he makes a really big play. Just young guys making plays and getting better. And now they have a win under their belt in the SEC. You take that into the Vandy game where you have a big recruiting weekend. Even though it's an 11:45 game, I feel like it's something that you can kind of, you know, hopefully you can get a little snowball going. You go all out. Hopefully you can knock off Vandy. They're still playing really good football. They played Texas really close at home. Now they got to come on the road. I just wonder what happens to the, you know, pushing the recruiting over the edge. If you can win at Vandy, you get a week off, and then you got the last 3-game stretch, and you got to win 2 to get to a bowl game. It's just, can you create that momentum? Can you create that momentum? And to create momentum, you got to win 1 first, and Auburn did in dominating fashion. So hopefully, again, we're going to be on live tonight. We're going to go a little bit more in depth. I'm going to listen to some of the player interviews, listen to the post-game interviews, pull out some nuggets, talk about some stuff that we, you know, just like we always do, and then let you guys talk, let you guys drive the show. It's so much fun. That's one of my favorite times of the week. And this week we get to do it after a win. So that's pretty big, and that'll be a lot of fun. So, guys, I really appreciate you listening. I appreciate you hanging in there with me throughout the whole season. I know it's been rough. I know at times it's probably gotten to where you're apathetic about Auburn, but you know, this is something to be excited about. And I still think everything I've said this whole season, I think still rings true. Auburn's really close. You're playing a lot of young guys, and all they need to do is start figuring out ways to win. And then there's something very special that I think can be built here. And hopefully this was the foundation block this week. So y'all have a great rest of the day. We'll chat back this evening. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.